Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week's episode, Steve and I are talking about the week that was in football, not to mention the madness that is the NBA. The NBA dropped everything from free agency to the draft to the trade deadline all within a week, so plenty to discuss, including the Knicks doing Knick things. If you can support this podcast, head over to tpublic.com, search Armchair Commentary, check out our merch. You can also find us on patreon.com if you just want to support the podcast. We'd appreciate that. If you haven't followed us on social medias, at SteveSteele23, at Armchair Commentary, at Armchair Comment 2. And last but not least, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast. If you want to head over to Podchaser or Apple Podcast and leave us a review, we would greatly appreciate it, especially if it's 5 stars. So without further ado, Knicks doing Knick things.
It is another week in sports. This time we have something more than football to talk about, which is excellent. But I am going to start with football. The Thursday night game this week is probably the first time they've made a Thursday night game that I'm like legitimately interested in a while. At least it feels that way. Arizona, Seattle. Can we take a minute to appreciate how good of a receiver DeAndre Hopkins is?
Well, I mean, I thought he was the best receiver in football prior to even going to Arizona. So, I mean, he's incredible. He's definitely top of the list still. That catch is freaky. I mean, everything about that play is freaky, though. So,
well, yeah, I was about to say, you know, the fact that Kyler had to outrun people, that he threw it on what looks like a skip. It looked like he skipped while he was throwing it. And Hopkins, in between three defenders, manages to pull it down, take away the win, and heartbreak for Buffalo, which you should be used to by now. But tough loss for Buffalo. Is Buffalo, I mean, obviously they're still one of the two legit teams in the AFC East. Are they going to lose that division to the Dolphins?
I wouldn't bet money on it, but it's definitely possible. I have Miami as my sleeper pick. I don't know, though. They just kind of inched their win last week, and I'm not as high on them as I was, but I still think they're a lot better than their record indicates.
Yeah. It's, I mean, obviously, with the third wild card spot, it's really tough. But it's really like, do you want to count out Miami from taking the division lead? I don't with their defense.
Still very close. One game.
I think that the only way they do it is with that defense. So I don't think you're expecting Tua to carry. I think you're just expecting them to manage and stay safe.
Well, they're winning games with defense and special teams, so yeah, that would be a wise assumption that if they're going to do it, it'll be the defense and special teams that do it.
Definitely. The other, I guess, the news recently that just came out is the Philadelphia Eagles and their, I don't know what you, their death grip on the NFC East lead, and by death grip, I mean they're literally dying on the vine. Is tenuous at best. They just put a whole bunch of players on the COVID list. Who wins this division, Steve? Does anybody win it? Do we just call it a non-division and give extra wildcard teams to divisions that actually care and matter?
Here's my hot take from a few weeks ago being updated. The New York Giants are going to win the NFC East.
Perfect.
I think 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, I was talking about how I don't think they're going to win a game, and now I think they're going to win that division. They look like the only team that's playing respectable football right now in that division. So I'm not saying they're good, but they seem to be a lot they're better not. Than they were. So logic dictates that they're probably the only – maybe Washington can win. I don't know. I'm going to look at the standings real quick in that division before I make a comment. But, like, the Giants look okay lately. Like, the last 3-4 weeks, they've actually looked like a decent football team. Like, I mean,
well, here's the thing. Technically, the Cowboys are still in the division hunt because they're only – they're 2-7. Feels weird saying that.
Yeah, but the Giants are on an actual winning streak. Like, they're 3-2 in the division. They have the best record in the division.
They've won two in a row.
Yeah. including beating the division leader. Like, any of these teams can win this division. And obviously it's Phillies to lose, but the Giants just stomped out Philly. So I don't know, maybe like the Giants. I don't know, man. It's like picking a shit sandwich. Like, I'm thinking it's gonna be the Giants. Like, who knows? It could be the Washington football, Washington redacteds too. Like, I don't know. Like, it could be any of these four teams. But I'm picking the Giants. That's my pick now. The Giants. The Giants have won two in a row, and that division is a solid contender as far as I'm concerned. So the Giants are gonna win the division.
Cowboys have lost four in a row and doesn't look good this week.
Yeah, like if you look at it, like the Eagles obviously just lost, so they're lost one in a row. Everyone else is on losing streaks in that division except for Philly and New York, and New York just beat Philly. So by all logic, New York should be like the front runner. They're 3-2 in the division, right? Like, they're the only team with an above 500 record in the division. They're 3-6 in the conference, but they're 3-2 in the division. So who are they playing this week? Because if it's another division game and they win another one,
The Giants are on their bye this week, but the Cowboys have the Vikings, who we're going to get to in a second. The Washington Redacteds, the no names have the Bungles.
Yeah, and when the Giants come off their bye week, they get the Bengals. Then they're at the Seahawks, which is a loss, and they get the Cardinals, which is a loss. Then it's the Browns, which is a crapshoot at this point. I don't know.
Well, the Eagles have the Browns this week, so realistically, Baker should be able to do something with that.
Yeah, I get the Browns to beat the Eagles, but like, which one's like 1, 2, 3. The Giants are reasonably going to win three more games. I don't think they beat the Ravens, Cardinals, or Seahawks, but I think they can beat the Bengals, the Browns, and the Cowboys. That puts them at 6-10 to win the division. Like,
yeah,
it's possible. Like, I mean, let's see who the Eagles play out now, right? Like, because like, I don't see the Eagles beating anybody the way they're playing right now. So no,
and being the fact that they just put a whole bunch of players on the COVID list tells me, like, a whole bunch of wide receivers. Tells me that they're in even more trouble.
I have the Eagles. The Eagles are playing the Browns, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Saints, the Cardinals, and the and they're at the Cowboys. Oh, and they get the Washington Cowboys. So the Eagles could also win three more games and get out of here. But like, I don't think the Eagles beat the Browns this week. They definitely don't beat the Seahawks. They definitely don't beat the Packers. They definitely don't beat the Saints. They definitely don't beat the Cardinals. It's a coin toss against the Cowboys in Dallas. And like, if they lose that Dallas game, it's the Giants. Honestly. Like, it's disgusting that it's actually possible, but I think we could see a six and ten division winner, which is better than I thought that division winner would be 4-12. But
yes,
I mean, legitimately, the Eagles could lose out here. Like, if you look at the schedule, the way they're playing right now, and what's happening to that roster, they could legitimately lose out. I mean, which is saying a lot because they're playing the Cowboys and the Redacteds. But I mean. Man, I'm taking the Giants. That's it. That's my bold take. The Giants are going to win the NFC East. And here's the crazy part. The Giants – I'm going to get even crazier. I'll just jump all the way up. But the Giants will win the home playoff game. That's how crazy I'm going.
I believe that. They could. It depends on who they get. The Giants are – listen, the Giants are athletic and dumb enough to do things they shouldn't be doing.
Well, they're improving, right? Like, that's what's obviously happening is they're getting better. The Eagles beat them 2 weeks ago by a point on a fluke. And that was wasn't it the game where Daniel Jones tripped?
Yeah, I think so. I remember. It was a couple of weeks back.
Yeah. So, I mean, but then again, they beat the Cowboys in Philly 23-9. I don't know, man. It's going to be the Eagles or the Giants. Those are my two picks. But I'm taking the Giants, and I'm going to take the Giants to win a home playoff game against whoever the hell they play against. Unless it's like Seattle or something, in which case they won't win. But, I mean, anything is possible. Giants, the NFC Championship game. You heard it here first.
I don't really want to talk too long about the NFC South because it's not that great either.
Well, Drew Brees just had a collapsed lung, so maybe the Bucs can pull this out after all.
So are the it's the Buccaneers division to take here, right? Like,
not really. I mean, I think like Shameless Jameis can probably hold the fort with that offense until they. Like, who do the Saints got coming up next? Like, let's see. The Saints' next game is against the Falcons, which we have, and the Broncos and the Falcons. I'd say Drew Brees will be back by the time they play the Chiefs. So, I can't see Shameless Jameis losing to the Broncos, the Falcons, twice, and the Eagles. Like, I can't see that. So,
Falcons are very good.
They're okay, but, like, they always find a way. Like, I don't know. I don't want to give the Falcons any credit, but they are in their mortar where they're going to win their draft choice.
They're 1-4 at home this year.
Yeah, the Falcons suck. I'm sorry, but they've won a couple games, so like they're a threat to win again. But like that Saints team is good enough with Shameless Jameis to like beat these four teams. Like Jameis Winston and the Bucks would beat these four teams. So I have to believe now the Vikings are a wild card at the end of the season. But I don't know, man.
I was just about to say. So the NFC North is the division that I'm most interested in, and I'll tell you why. I think the Packers are probably one of the worst 7-2 teams in the league right now. I won't say ever, because I don't feel that's true. And Aaron Rodgers can get you out of a lot of things. But there have been some games where he has looked ugly, like real bad. The Bears aren't going to do it. The Bears are the fakest 500 team you've ever seen in your life. Just as
they were 5-2 at one point, or 5-1 actually. Yeah.
Just as a fun fact, Nick Foles got 2 fantasy points last week. 2 from a quarterback.
So I want to go back to the NFC South for a second because the Bucs schedule is way more daunting than the Saints schedule. They got Rams, Chiefs, Vikings, Falcons, Lions, Falcons. So
yeah,
they probably win their last 3, but those next 3 are not gimmies. The Rams are much better than their record indicates. Like they're a Jekyll and Hyde team. You got the Chiefs.
Yes, they are.
The Chiefs will probably beat the turducken off the Bucs. And the Vikings with like Dalvin Cook back are a completely different football team than they were at the beginning of the year. So God knows what the hell that team's going to do. So there's a possibility that the Bucks could be like 7-5 or 7-6 coming into like the last stretch of the season. So no, I'm still taking the Saints to win that division. Now back to the NFC North, it's the Packers that are going to win, but they're going to lose in their first game. They might win their home playoff game, but the moment that team has to go on the road, they're going to lose.
The Vikings are the second best team in that division, right?
Yes, and they could still probably catch the Packers with a healthy Dalvin Cook. So,
yeah, I look at the NFC North and I know that Kirk Cousins isn't anything crazy special, and I know that their special teams are just awful. But I have a feeling that the Vikings are about to go on a bit of a run here. They're already 3 wins in a row.
I could fully see the Vikings coming back and win that division.
I want to move on to the AFC just quickly. AFC North to start off. Are we still on the Steelers bandwagon? Where do we fall on the Ravens now?
I'm not remotely. I actually let the air out of the Ravens bandwagon's tires. So don't ask me to pick them. I can't believe the Colts lost to them. Our Jekyll and Hyde vibes. If we had beaten the Ravens, we'd be in firm control of the AFC South. So look at the AFC North. I mean, can we discount the Browns yet? Like, I know I'm picking them to lose to the Giants right now, but can we discount the Browns from like they look like they're going to be a playoff team, right? Like, they keep winning.
Yeah,
like,
the Browns. So the Browns are dumb enough to keep winning this. They won't win much after. They're dumb enough to keep winning.
Playoff the Browns is a huge win. Like, that's not going to happen very often. I mean, Nick Chubb is legit, and the team can still, like, without Odell, they're hurting, obviously, offensively. But, like, the team is good enough to win. They can contain teams, right? Like, they can win these games. Like, Cleveland's remaining schedule. Let's look real quick. Like, obviously, the Steelers are going to win that division, just sheer lead size. But, like, the Browns, the Jaguars, then the Titans, obviously, that sucks. The Ravens, which they're not playing great. The Giants, the Jets. Like, 1, 2, 3... The Browns are going to win 9 games this year, I'd say. So, I mean, that's probably going to get you a third slot in the wild card.
Yeah. The Browns are a 9 or 10 win team, and I think that's probably enough. Unfortunately for them, the Steelers are on a tear. I mean, they are there. They're good. The Browns, I don't know.
Like, the Steelers really haven't really – the best team the Steelers have beaten was the Titans, and it took a miracle. Like, they've beaten the Giants, the Broncos, the Texans, the Eagles, the Browns, the Titans, the Ravens, of course, Cowboys, Bengals. If you look at who these – the Steelers team has a pretty soft schedule. Like, they have 2 more games left that they could possibly – well, 3. They could possibly lose to the Ravens. They have the Ravens, the Bills, and the Colts left. And the Browns. So, I mean, this team hasn't really beaten – they beat the Titans and they beat the Ravens, but that's it. Everything else – every other team they beat is awful. They have 2 legitimate wins and a bunch of wins against a bunch of awful teams. And by the way, none of these wins are blowouts. They're beating the Broncos by 5, the Texans by a touchdown, the Eagles by 10, 9, the Browns by 30. Okay, fair enough. The Titans by a fluke. The Ravens by 4. The Cowboys by 5. And the Bengals by 26. So like, okay,
They have a 100-point point differential.
Well, they're 7. They've lost, right? They haven't lost yet? No, the Steelers haven't lost yet. Okay, so yes, they have a 100-point differential, but like most of it comes in two games. It comes in a 26-point shellacking of the Bengals and a 31-point shellacking of the Browns. That's over half of it in two games. Like, they're having close games with bad football teams. Like, only beating the Giants by 10 is not good. Beating the Broncos by 5 is not good. Beating the Texans by 7, for a team that's like steamrolling like the Steelers appear to be, these guys aren't beating great football teams. Like, they're going to win the division, and they're probably going to get home field advantage, just the sheer softness of the schedule. But like, they're going to play against the Jaguars, and they get the Ravens again. Then they got the Redacted, then they get the Bills, the Bengals, the Colts. Like, they're probably going to go 14-2. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
but it's going to be the most like soft 14-2 you've ever seen.
I don't disagree with you. I like the Steelers, but I. I like them to win their division. Not that I enjoy their games.
Yeah, I think they probably went to the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago. We're pumped for the review. I'm going to stick with my Chiefs pick.
And I'm fine with that. The speaking of the Chiefs, the AFC West is firmly in their grasp. The Broncos look to be in free fall. Drew Locke does not look like a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, the Chargers are the Chargers, and I'm not gonna put much on the Chargers. Herbert is young and fine, and came in and has done what he could. He's
the
hung
Chargers
with some
are the
teams.
Worst special team in football, which is an accomplishment this year, but they do have the worst special team in football.
Yes, yeah, the worst. Period. So, but the Broncos look like they may need a new quarterback. Unfortunately for them, they have 3 more wins than the Jets, so they won't be picking. Trevor Lawrence.
Let's not get carried away here. The Jets are starting to look relatively competitive in their football games. I feel like this team is bad enough to ruin this for themselves.
We already touched on the AFC East. The Patriots are going to be stupid enough to win enough games to be competitive down the stretch, but
it's terrible.
Not close enough to not bad enough to draft well.
It's terrible what's happening in New England right now. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, why are you guys winning? Like, what? What are you guys thinking? Like,
I don't know.
You're not going to make the playoffs with this record. Like, you still got the Jets, the Dolphins, the Rams, and the Cardinals left. Like, it's going to be a losing season. Like, why are you winning games? Like, why are you winning 2 in a row? Like, I mean, the Jets. I mean, that felt like a tank bowl while watching. But beating the Ravens was just poor life choices. Like, I get, like, a Belichick team's never going to lay down completely, but this is just unacceptable.
Like, yeah, it's pretty frustrating. And the AFC South, which I find to be the most interesting division in the AFC, because I don't think the Titans are very good. And I think that your Colts are a lot better than people prognosticated early on in the season.
I think we're the best team in the division. I felt this way for a while. I felt this way for a while. The Ravens game was an abnormality. Also, same with the loss to the Browns. But, like, I don't know, man. The team's great, Jekyll and Hyde. Our offense is inconsistent. Some days it looks great. Some days it looks awful. But, like, we look good. We have a very solid plus-minus, like, window differential plus 65. Like, we're good. Like, we're not the Chiefs. Yeah. But, like,
no.
I don't know, man. Good defense can win you a lot. And as long as the offense doesn't shoot them in the foot, they could go to the Super Bowl or they could be out in the first round. It depends on what the offense does. As long as, like, the offense can be bad, it just can't be turning the ball over bad. But we decisively beat the Titans the other day. Like, that did not look like those were the two close teams battling for something. No. That looked like the Colts were this clearly superior football team. But then again, we'll probably play them again, and it won't look that way. So,
Titans, Ravens this week seems like it has the most dire impact on it on the remaining schedule at this point. I know it's one game. I know there's plenty of football left to be played, but the Titans need a win desperately. Because they haven't looked great. I mean, they've only lost one, but they lose this one, and you guys, the Colts, pull off a win. That's the division becomes a lot more difficult. Baltimore is in the same boat. I think they've lost against the Patriots, but I think they've lost 2 of their last like 3 or something like that. They're not looking great.
The Titans are in trouble. The Titans have to go to Baltimore and Indianapolis in back-to-back weeks. That could be their season is going to be decided probably in the next 2 weeks. And they got to go to Green Bay to close the season as well. So
it's not good. So it's an important game, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you have to watch it, don't. It's going to be ugly. Those teams are not exciting teams to watch. Lamar Jackson does some neat things. You can probably catch it on SportsCenter. You don't need to watch this game. It's bad. It's going to be ugly.
I'm watching the Colts this weekend. Like it's, we got the Packers. I want to see if we can embarrass Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you probably could. I'm going to be watching the worst team in the league versus the worst special teams in the league and see what happens.
Oh, I mean, let's not pretend that the Jets special teams is somehow good. Like, Jets versus Chargers is oof.
Cowboys and Vikings is going to be interesting, I think.
It's going to be a bloodbath, actually, let's be honest with you.
And the Patriots have a very winnable game against Houston, which means they probably won't win it. Thank God we'll get back on track to getting a high-end draft pick who we can replace and start to actually build this team out. Steve, for a change, we actually have other sports news that's going on in the world. And Stan, I'm not talking about chess, and I'm not talking about UFC, which has been going on. And apologies to UFC fans. UFC has been happening. We just don't really talk about fight that much. If you want to hear us talk UFC, let us know, because we'll gladly delve into it. But, you know, check us out on socials. Make sure to hit us up. The NBA announced they were doing everything in a week. they said, all right, we're going to be starting the league back up in December. So we need to have... trade deadline? No, they did free agent. What they? Yeah, trade deadline.
Agency and the draft all happened within 2 days.
Yeah,
so it's just everything's madness.
So they opened up trades on Monday, Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday they had the draft. It is currently Thursday, the 19th of November. If anybody needs to keep track here, and I believe tomorrow is free agency.
I believe so, yeah.
So everything is happening this week. Boy, do they overpay a lot. Like, there was a lot of like head-scratching kind of moments.
Teams are overpaying for pieces right now. Yes, that's true. But until free agency should be telling, because I think the cap actually kind of got like cut a little bit because of the lack of revenue from crowds. So it should be really interesting to see So someone tweeted out earlier that Kelly Oubre was an $84.2 million cap hit. He's not an $84.2 million cap hit per se. It's just Golden State will go that far over the luxury tax with him that it'll cost them $84 million. And with the news that just came out about Klay Thompson, Kelly Oubre may be needed.
What do you think? I mean, shout out to Klay.
Poor guy, man.
For that guy.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's real brutal. Done for the year, if you didn't know.
It's crazy, I'll go on the record here and say it. Like, you blow your knee out 1 year, and the next year you tear your Achilles. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion as a guard. Your time is up. Like, he's never going to be Klay Thompson. He might still be able to, like, sit in the corner and hit jump shots. I'm sure he can still do that. But, like, the dynamic parts of Klay Thompson, the basketball game, died yesterday whenever he tore his Achilles. That's tragic.
What does that mean for Golden State going forward? Because he was I put it in our Insta story earlier today, he's a pretty significant part. I think he's probably one of the more, Draymond is the probably the engine there. I know that people think that Steph is like the it, but I feel like Klay is a pretty critical part of that team. So what's their outlook now? What's the play? Because like you said, this is it. They've got to move on. Or are they holding out?
Well, they can't really move on. They gave him a huge extension.
I know.
Like, there's no moving on from him per se. But like Klay Thompson contract, like let's see here, 5 years, $189 million. you can't just move on from the guy. But I mean, it's over as far as him being an elite player. As far as I'm concerned, that said, the core of Wiggins, Curry, and Green, a second overall center, who will have all the time in the world to develop with those three. I mean, they came out of the gate so stinky this year that I don't know if I want to. Like, I thought with Klay Thompson back, they'd probably be a legit contender for the West. I don't think they are that anymore. But they should, and I stress should, be like a 6-8 seed at least. At least, I think. D'Angelo was not a good fit for them, so I mean that made sense. But like, yeah, I maybe a 5 or 6 seed. I think
they'll be competitive, but they won't be.
Yeah, they're definitely confident. Not going to be a Western Conference contender. No.
The what I'm laughing because it's something that we haven't really delved into, but a ton. We've talked about it a few different times. The Knicks were up to Nick things.
It was funny yesterday, but the way that's shaking out isn't as funny as it was yesterday. But continue. Let's go with it. Because right, none of it's happened.
Well, I'm just – so the Knicks traded up in a draft before a single player had been taken. And I'm not saying that trading up in the draft is wrong. I'm not saying that making a move is wrong. But until you know where the pieces fall, and I mean, you can probably make guesses or assumptions, and I'm sure that, you know, you've had some – if you have some front office guys making calls and making these plays, you can probably get an idea of where people are going. But typically you wait until at least some of the draft is underway so you can get a feel of where people are going before you start making moves on your positioning, unless you're like, you know, you're like in like a Raptors position where you're way down in the draft and you have an opportunity to grab a high pick for something else. Okay. But like, we're not taught, they didn't move a ton of spaces. Did they not? And then
they moved like 3 or 4 spots, but like they got the funny part about the Knicks is they have a roster full of power forwards. They traded up in the draft and drafted a power forward. That's the humor. Like that's the Knicks are a team of power forwards. That said, last year in free agency, they went out and got Julius Randle with a pretty nice contract, not a max contract, but a pretty good contract. Now they have to trade Julius Randle. Like they have no choice. They have to start parting with their power forward addiction. Like they're completely. It's like a West Baltimore heroin thing with them and power forwards. They hoard power forwards, and I don't understand it, but. The kid they got's really good. I think he's going to be a really good basketball player in the NBA. I hope so. He's from New York. He's excited to play for the Knicks. That's all really good and well. But they got to get rid of Julius Randle now. Like,
Isn't that the like the Knicks' MO though, in terms of like roster building? And I jokingly named the episode "Why Not?" and other Knick roster advice because. They just seemingly do things that are way off book. Not that there's anything. Obi Toppin, I think that's how you say his last name.
Yeah, he looks very legit. He looks like he may be their best draft pick they've gotten in the last few years. Like, all of respect to RJ Barrett, I feel like this kid may have a higher ceiling than Barrett. That said, like I said, they have a 25-year-old power forward on a 3-year, $63 million contract, right? Like, he's going into the second year of that contract. And there's not a huge market for Julius Randle, so they got to find a way to get rid of Julius Randle. Like, you can't have – if you look at the Knicks roster right now, I think they have, like, 5 power forwards on it. Like, I'm fairly confident they do. Like, it's
everybody plays power forward. It's the ultimate line. Holy rotation. 5 power forwards.
RJ Barrett's a small forward, but he's 6'8". So, yeah, Mitchell Robinson, who's a legit center. You got Bobby Portis. You got I think they're letting go of Taj Gibson. But, like, this is, like, right now. So, forward in the front court, they got Robinson, Randle, Portis, Gibson. Okay. This is not as bad as I thought. There's 4 of them. But with Toppin, there's 5. But I don't think I think they waived Taj Gibson or something. I think. I'm trying to be optimistic for the Knicks here. Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis among Knicks dumped on eve of NBA free agency. Okay, they declined the options on Portis, Taj Gibson, and waive Alfred Payton. Now $40 million in cap space. So the Knicks look like they're going in the right direction. I can't be too negative.
For now. I mean, let's give it time.
Well, they dumped they're going to dump another power forward. They probably should have hung on to either Gibson or Portis and probably tried to trade Julius Randle. Marcus Morris on this team too? No. No, he went to the Celtics, right? Like, that's where he – he's a Clipper now, actually. Sorry. God, that guy bounced a lot last year.
Yeah. There were a couple of other moves that happened. I do want to get your take on LaMelo going to the Hornets. We had talked briefly about LeVar being the deterrent for LaMelo going as high. Do you think we're going to see that LaMelo or that LeVar MJ one-on-one?
I hope so.
And do you think Melo has a chance here? Out of all of the ball kids, is he the one that's actually going to stick and break through and do something?
No, he's the most doomed. He's going to Charlotte. I'm sorry. Don't want to be mean. No indictment on him. But no, he's going to Charlotte. He's done. Cooked. Finished. Over. Never going to make it. He'll probably average 22 points a game, maybe his first season or two. And then he'll just get frustrated and probably knock up 18 strippers in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. And he'll go off into bus land. He'll make Lonzo look like the superstar of the family. He's an M1 basketball player at the best of times. He's on a garbage organization, a garbage team. Nicholas Batum just opted into his $28 million option. He was I think he played 3 minutes a game last year. So the team's a hot fire mess. For as great as Jordan was as a basketball player, he may be the worst executive in NBA history. So he's also an owner. But, LaMelo Ball, maybe a year or two of, glimmer of hope, and then he'll, fade into obscurity and be at the end of someone's bench by 2025.
There you go. The official news, mark it on your calendars, 2025.
Well, I mean, if any of our listeners have any issues with it, if they're basketball fans or not, go find me anyone other than Kemba Walker, who, by the way, kind of got exposed as not being as good as everyone thought he was. But other than Kemba Walker, find me a good Charlotte Hornet.
I know. I'm not disagreeing.
And don't tell me that all the players that go there are bad. It's just the organization. So that's why I'm giving the death sentence to LaMelo Ball. Between distractions with his father and everything else, LaMelo Ball will be a perennial bust. He'll be his family's version of Frank Kaminsky.
All right. Ouch.
He's sure on the Hornets, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Well, Frank Kaminsky was a lottery pick too. You're laughing, but they drafted Frank Kaminsky with a lottery pick. Although that didn't make any sense at the time. Kaminsky, when did he get drafted? I mean, the Hornets are such a. Oh, no, the Suns declined Kaminsky's option. Never mind. I apologize. He was a ninth overall pick in 2015. He averaged 9 points a game. Nobody good comes from Charlotte. He the most games he ever started in his career as a ninth overall pick was 16 games in the second season. He averaged 11 points. Jesus, Charlotte. Stop depressing me so much. Charlotte sucks.
There were a couple of moves that kind of piqued our interest, and a couple of signings. We already touched on Oubre. Milwaukee made quite a splash on, I guess it was Monday at this point. What'd you think of the acquisitions? Is it too much? The price is high, and OKC is making out OKC with all the picks that they got end up making out like bandits. Do they not?
Oh my God. Sam Presti's a genius. But what the Bucks deal was Jrue Holiday in a second round pick, a number 60 pick, the Pelicans for Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, a 2020 first round pick, a 2024 first round swap rights, a 2025 unprotected first round pick, a 2026 first round swap right, and a 2027 for Jrue Holiday. Are you out of your minds? Don't get me wrong, that is not a condemning statement towards Jrue Holiday, but this trade is LeBron. This reeks of Milwaukee being the laughing stock of the league. For year, they're one injury or one opt out or declining a free agency of Giannis Antetokounmpo away from being the laughing stock of the league for over a decade. This is the worst trade I've ever seen.
Last week, actually, did we not talk about the Nets doing something very similar?
This is worse. Where
they sold out their future for a bunch of aging veterans. This is way worse.
Oh, but so by 2027. Way worse. By 2027, even if Giannis stays, Giannis isn't going to be great in 2027. He's going to be a 7-footer that relies on speed. It's not going to – he's going to be in his 30s by that point. It's not going to work out. This is the worst trade I've ever seen. And, I don't care if they win a title with Jrue Holiday. It's still going to be a death sentence for this franchise. This cripples them on the road going forward. Eric Bledsoe is one of their better players, for God's sakes. Forget, it's –
to me, it was like Giannis, Middleton, Bledsoe, the three best players, like, easily, hands down. George Hill's whatever, but like this deal stinks. Like, oh my god, I can't believe they went for this. Like what he's pretty good. Holiday had a pretty good season, averaged 19 points a game.
Time to start it up, America.
Sorry, ESPN ads. All right, yeah.
Playing like 35 minutes a game, averaging 35% from three, 70% free throw shooter, 45% field goals, like three turnovers, six assists. Like, oh, a good defensive player, I guess. But no, this is still the worst. Like, you don't trade that for Jrue Holiday. Like, you just don't. Like, I don't know what else to say. No, like, I am not an NBA executive, but if someone came to me with that trade offer, I would have laughed them out of the table. I'd be like, all right, yeah, sure, throw in Lonzo while you're there. Like, yeah. Maybe. Lonzo, Jrue, and, like, Middleton and Giannis would be an incredible defensive force of a basketball team. But, like honestly, the difference between Eric Bledsoe and Jrue Holiday is not that great. There is a difference. Holiday is better than Bledsoe. But he's not that much better than Bledsoe where you'd give a ball. Like, that's the dumbest trade I've ever seen. Like, Giannis is going to not re-sign with them after that trade, and they're just going to fall apart.
The other trade that we were hoping would happen, and I don't think has happened yet, involves those Nets. And that's James Harden.
I don't know if it's going to happen. If that was going to happen, I think that would have happened by now. But I mean, we can talk about
hoping.
We're hoping.
Well, I want to talk about the possibility, and I want to talk about why you're so excited about it, because I feel like our listeners appreciate and understand, and they probably sympathize with the show that you want to see in Brooklyn.
Or New Jersey. I can't wait for that. Like, honestly, like I think it's going to be the greatest show on court. You're going to have Kyrie Irving and James Harden trying to out-dribble each other on every possession. Unfortunately, the shot clock's only 24 seconds in the NBA. If there was a 50-second shot clock in the NBA, this could be dynamic. But unfortunately, poor Kevin Durant, the best scorer of his time, the best offensive player I've probably ever seen, is going to be standing in the corner waiting for these two idiots to stop dribbling the ball behind their back. Like, oh my God. I give it 3 weeks before a fist fight breaks out of half court. Like, I thought it was going to happen with Westbrook and Harden, but those two were really close. I highly doubt James Harden and Kyrie Irving can coexist. James Harden couldn't coexist with the most selfless point guard in the NBA's history in the last 5-10 years. I said history. I was hubris. But Chris Paul is one of the most selfless, like, ball-sharing point guards of all time, and James Harden pouted for 2 years of them on the team with him because he had to share the ball with him. Kyrie Irving is nothing like Chris Paul. Absolutely nothing like Chris Paul. It's going to be amazing to watch those two coexist. I cannot wait. It's going to suck for us because that much talent's going to hurt being in a division. Like, I don't expect the Raptors to be able to compete with that team. But that team is going to be, even if they win it all, which I doubt they will, but if they could win it all, they would probably throw hands at their, like, when they're throwing champagne at each other. I think Kyrie and Harden will be throwing hands in the locker room in the championship celebration over, like, who got to dribble the ball more. Like, have you ever watched James Harden possessions in Houston where he, like, kind of dribbles the court, stands in the center there with a guy in front of him, and he puts the ball behind his back and through his legs for about 12 to 17 seconds, then they make a decision what they're going to do, whether Harden's going to try, pull up and shoot a bad three, or kick to a corner to somebody else? Now, Kyrie Irving loves to do the exact same thing, but also likes to, you know, take mid-range jumpers, maybe go to the rim once in a while. They both need about 20 to 25 shots a game to be themselves. And neither of them are as good as Kevin Durant. So I really don't know.
Like, the loser in this deal would be Steve Nash.
Eventually expect good things to happen. But no, this is the worst possible scenario for all three of those guys. And I can't wait. But they're friends, so they want to make it happen. So let it happen. Let's do it.
The loser in all this is Steve Nash, right? Kevin Durant is a close second.
No, I would definitely say the loser in this is definitely Kevin Durant. But Steve can probably get through to one of them. Like, I think Steve Nash can probably get through to Kyrie Irving or James Harden. Probably James Harden. I think Harden's probably the more rational, less ridiculous of the two. I think, like, Kyrie Irving is more hard-headed. That doesn't mean James Harden is benevolent by any stretch, but he's less so than Kyrie. I don't know, man. There's a whole lot of losers. I mean, they're probably going to win 60 games with that roster just on sheer talent, because if they can keep games close, they'll win. That kind of firepower, you can't help but win, right?
But I don't think
super teams, Steve. We've talked about them.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't say they'd win a championship. I said they'd win 50 games.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, there's a huge difference. The Atlanta Hawks won 64 games a couple years ago, went the second round or the conference finals. They got swept out. You know, like winning regular season games doesn't mean much. The Raptors won 58 to 59 games every year for 4 years, and you know, most times we're getting swept in the second round of the playoffs. So,
yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know, the Brooklyn James Harden experience is something I desperately want to see, but I just feel like common sense is going to prevail somewhere, and they're going to prevent it from happening. And maybe James Harden will end up somewhere else. Although he seems to only want to go to Brooklyn, I'm sure someone will talk some sense into him.
I don't bank on that.
I think what's going to happen is going to happen right now.
You might be right. I mean, I feel like the asking price is probably too high. Well, I think Houston wants
either Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving back in the trade. And I think that's what's stopping.
That's not going to happen, yeah.
I mean, it should be Kyrie Irving, really. But logic dictates that Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn to play with Kyrie, so I doubt he'd be very happy if that happened.
Oh, but how amazing would that be?
What, that Kyrie Irving got shipped to Houston?
That Kyrie had shipped to Houston after Harden wants to complain.
I don't think he would ever, his ego would ever tolerate him being traded straight up for somebody else. I don't think he'd ever allow it. He got dealt from Cleveland when he asked for it, but like getting dealt against his will would not. He probably has a no trade clause in his contract. I don't know if he does or doesn't. But yeah.
The drama would be intense and worth it.
I can't wait. I where James Harden lands is probably the most exciting thing in basketball right now. I had no idea he was on his way to Houston. No idea.
Yeah. Is there anything you're looking for during free agency that's coming up tomorrow? If you're listening to this podcast as it's been released, you'll be listening during Free Agent Frenzy. All of the nonsense that's going to happen, all of the ridiculous deals. Is there anybody you're keeping your eye on, either for the Raptors or for just the league in general?
I mean, I'd like to see what Anthony Davis signs with LA for. I'd like to see what that contract looks like. I would like to see where DeMar DeRozan ends up. I have no idea where, but I'd like to see where that goes. And I want to see where Fred VanVleet ends up. Those are like the three people I'm going to be watching most closely in NBA free agency.
I mean, Fred is interesting for sure because he obviously he's a guy that we both like, but I don't know if we like him for the money that that we're gonna see being spent. If that makes sense, I think he's gonna get a pretty significant deal. There's some guys that have opted out already that I think we're gonna see sign elsewhere. But I'm basically looking to see what, if anything, the Raptors do always, because that's my...
I think we're going to lose Serge Ibaka and Fred VanVleet.
Yep. I am curious to see what the Knicks do, because they're always doing Knick things. And honestly, and I mean this from the like most sincere place ever, I hope they get good again.
The Knicks? Me too. If Fred VanVleet's going to leave Toronto, I hope it's for the Knicks.
I just want, like, I feel like basketball at Madison Square Garden is just, like, such an iconic thing, and it's kind of been a bit of a laughing stock for a while now. I know the Clippers weren't always, like, great, but, like, L.A. has always been, even when L.A.'s bad, it's still iconic, but it goes a lot quicker than I feel like the Knicks rebuild, if you want to call it whatever this is. Rebuild. I want them to be good. I feel like it's good for the game of basketball when the Knicks are better than they are, especially right now. That's all I've got this week, Steve. I don't know if you've got anything else for the people. If you don't, do you want to tell them where they can at you and tell you why the Oubre deal is a good one, or how Giannis is going to be fire at 35?
He's not going to be fire at 35. My Twitter is at SteveSteel23. My Instagram is at SteveSteel22. Don't ask. I had to change it for a few days. It'll be back to SteveSteel23 in 2 weeks. But right now, if you listen to this, it's SteveSteel22. It's a terrible name. It feels dirty already. Giannis is going to be trash in 5 years. There, I said it. And, look for Danny Green to probably get forced into retirement or the G League or China or something and probably get waived by somebody eventually. He'll probably get traded one more time and get waived.
I thought he was just traded, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's been traded twice now, but he's going to be traded again, probably in waived. Or he'll get waived by the team he has right now. I believe it's the Philadelphia 76ers right now.
Amazing. I am at Armchair Commentary, at Armchair Common 2. You can also at me and tell me why Giannis isn't going to be great. I don't really care. You can tell me why the Titans are a good team. I'm going to tell you they're not. They're trash. The
Titans are trash. Okay. That's a little far from me. I think the Titans are a pretty good football team. They're not as good as people think they were.
No, they're not. Derrick Henry is a good football player. The Titans are a bad team. Period. I'm going to put us out on this fire.
Isn't there lingering resentment because they ran Tom Brady out of New England?
No, Tom Brady was going anyway. Okay. He was going anyway. I don't like it. Derrick Henry's an excellent football player. He's a fantastic running back, and we'll have another couple of good years of running roughshod over people. But the rest of that team is not built for any sustained run whatsoever. And if you make Tannehill do Tannehill things, he's going to look like Miami Dolphins Tannehill and not the Tannehill that was part of a team that went to, an AFC.
The shade of the round.
Yeah. You guys are the best team in that division.
Me saying, remember the Titans. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. If you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Make sure that you get the most current episodes as they're released and not getting left behind. If you feel like leaving us a rating, you can find that on Podchaser. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating, especially if it's 5 stars. We'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to connect with us on social media, we're at SteveSteele23 and at ArmchairCommon2 or at ArmchairCommentary on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And last but not least, if you want to check out our merch, you can head over to TeePublic, search Armchair Commentary, grab stickers, t-shirts, mugs, just about anything. And if there isn't something there that you want, we can definitely get it added. Just let us know. It has been a wackadoodle week in the world of sports. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks for listening. Be safe.